Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 22. I didn't forget about the favor. Dad was looking at me. He forgot the favor. No, I'm just kidding. The favor is that the moment that you feel something, the Lord pulling you out of your pew, will you just get out of your pew?
Come on, man. Come on now.
I don't care what I'm saying. I don't care how long I've been preaching. If it's 5 minutes or 20 minutes, I don't think we're going to get much further than 25 minutes. Now, I don't know if I just locked myself into an hour or what, but will you give me your word? All right, now I'm going to gauge your other word based on this. You said you would, and you also said you would pray for pastor. So I've got two here, so I'm going to hold you accountable tonight. All right, Revelation chapter 22, verse 16 and verse 17 says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel, Angelos, a messenger, to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Hallelujah. I think it's interesting that the word that comes from the Lord is also the word that we ought to be issuing. The Spirit of God is speaking to us and issuing the call for us to come to Him. And also, He says that those of us who hear the word should also repeat it. Hallelujah. Continuing verse 17, He says, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I want to talk to you tonight just for a few moments. I don't think I'll be very long at all. But again, please help me tonight. I'm asking you a favor. Help us respond to the moving of the Spirit. I want to talk about the untold story. Why don't we lay down our Bibles, ask the Lord to help us tonight. Jesus, we trust you. We believe you, God. Asking that you would anoint my lips of clay. God, anoint our ears to hear and receive with meekness. Oh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can we love the Lord tonight? Jesus. Come on, that's it, church. Hallelujah. Love him. Worship him. Honor him. Lord, we adore you. We give you glory. We worship you, Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Amen. If you agree to the favor, you can be seated. Amen. I'm watching you, Jaheim. I see you. Better sit down. No, I'm just kidding. Many of us have heard the story of going west. And this is, it's a simple word that has grown to mean more than just a direction. But the term is really describing the western part of or the western hemisphere, the western part of the globe. And we use, the word has been used in countless stories to tell about that great move from the old world to a new world, where those in the old world who had heard a story about going west, had heard the story about this place where the lands were vast and empty, where there was so much potential, so much a promise and potential for produce that they had to. There was very few at first, Brother Hilton, but many began to trickle west. They would purchase their way on a chartered ship from the old world to the new world. And I'm certainly no historian, but I do love to read those stories about those who come by, especially those who are inspired by the great and renowned Louis L'Amour. Talks about the Saxons, how they have moved west, and the old Blue Mountains, and Jubal, and all of those. I'm going to get too sidetracked here, but those are the kinds of stories that I love to listen to and read, and there, he's got a lot of other ones. If you want to know about them, I'm happy. I've got the whole Sacks, what are they called? Sackets. Did I say Sacks a minute ago? I meant Sackett. But the Sackett series. And I've got the whole list on my Audible account. I won't give you access to my Audible, but I'll give you the list. I'll give you a screenshot of it. Don't tell him, Dad, that I gave you the access to it. But, yeah, just don't let that out. But it took a long time for the people that were in this old way of doing things, this old monarchian lifestyle, this classical, orthodox, if you will, way of organizing things, this old way of doing things, and what the sense that they got when they got onto their chartered ship and went west. Some of them saved a lifetime just to be able to pay for their way, or pay for their son's way, or pay for their spouse's way. In some cases, it was literally just the husband that went to the far away land, the western world, so that he could begin a new life and then later come home and take his family with him. He was the one that was able to go and see. He was the one that was able to go and taste and feel what it was like to be there. And friend, as Pastor Hilton just talked about a minute ago, to make an application here, there were certainly turmoils. There were certainly situations that no doubt challenged them on a day-to-day basis. I can't even begin to imagine. Good old Louis articulates it pretty well. You can go listen or read one of those stories, and you'll be well set, amen, to understand that. But that old world was steeped in their monarchy and taxation, and their olden kingdoms, where heritage and name and prestige and all of these things mattered. But in this new world, it was a blank slate. It was a brand new opportunity for everyone who could get to that shoreline. Everybody that was willing to pay the price, they could make it. And when they made it and their feet settled into the soil, amen, I can only imagine the amount of hope that put spring into their step. The joy, amen, there had to be joy. There had to be some kind of motivation that allowed them to overcome all of the struggles and all the fighting and all the challenges that they were facing. Fast forward a couple of centuries and we find the birthing of a new nation, born not of common ancestry, not of a common bloodline, but of common ideals. Ideals that were specifically given through rigorous debate and discussion, striking the balance between an old monarchy and just pure anarchy. They found out the necessary balances that need to be put in place, the necessary governances that need to be over this new and burgeoning world that the old world could only hear and read stories and reports about. They saw what is going on over there in the colonies, this group of people, these pioneers, these people that have such dreams and things that are going on. All they heard was just stories. All they heard and were able to know about what was going on over there was they were separated by waters and oceans, and they didn't pay the price. All they could hear is the stories. And it's this. They had done such a good job, these colonies, organizing themselves, that at one point they finally decided to declare independence. And we know and we celebrate that day. Alexander Hamilton, a prolific writer among the founding fathers of our nation, wrote in the opening of the Federalist Papers defending a new constitution. He said, "It has been frequently remarked that it seems to have been reserved to the people of this country to decide by their conduct and example the important question whether societies of men are really capable or not. of establishing good government from reflection and choice, or whether they are forever destined to depend for their political constitution on accident and force. Interesting. He said, I wonder, basically what Alexander Hamilton was saying is, I wonder if we can learn from history. I wonder if I can take a look at the history books and pull enough from it to establish a successful society. I wonder if I can pull from those stories that even those founding fathers had read about old kingdoms and older worlds, that what can we learn from those who have gone before us? And they use that information to establish this new kingdom, if you will. We know that they succeeded in this effort of establishing good government, which created a perfect gateway through which millions of others in an old world can navigate to a better new world. Those began to hear more and more stories, more reports. Some from the new world, going back to the old world, talking about, hey, did you see what happened? Those men who left their wives and their families back in the old world are coming back and saying, all right, baby, let's go. Taking my family with me. We're going. We're going to go to this new place, this place that I have spent my lifetime. I've spent generations, whether it was me or my grandfather, my dad, that spent their time sacrificing. And for others, it was just a story. 19th century witnessed a new discovery of America. It came about not through the daring of Columbus, but it was a consequence of letters written by immigrants to the people of the old world. It was a progressive and widening discovery that played an important role in the migration of millions of Europeans from their home countries into the United States. That's the land of their choices. It's a publication. The spirit of adventure never died in the heart of those who settled in America as they went west. We hear this popularized phrase, go west, young man, and grow up with the country. Yeah. He went even further west once his feet settled on the shore. Once he had established, those men's sons went even further. They weren't satisfied. I want you to understand that their appetite for this pioneering way, their desire to go even further beyond the borders, beyond what was known, beyond the mountains, beyond all of these things. Amen. Bear with me. We're going somewhere here tonight. Amen. The younger generation grew up. They said, Father, I want to be just like you. I want to pioneer a new way just like you. I want to learn from old worlds just like you. And so Daddy got to hear some stories as young boys grew to young men, and then young families grew into older families, and then we slowly eked our way west and finally discovered wonderful, amen, and prosperity and all these things. It was savage. The front line was challenging, no question about it. And those stories are certainly, the stories that were told were certainly fraught with those challenges. In the untamed wilderness, savages and wild animals, only the toughest and the bravest would make these journeys for a land that they could, that could become their own. And I want to tell you tonight about something that we've been singing about just for the last, I don't know, 30 minutes or so, about a new world. We have read the letters of those who have seen it. We have, well, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. We've had just these snippets, just a few glances. And we've only heard stories, Brother Nelson. Amen. But I'm here to tell you that not even the half has been told. Hallelujah. When those letters have been written, amen, and the price that was paid to put the ink on those letters, amen, is almost insurmountable. But certainly men who were brave and willing to explore, amen, this new world, amen, they paid the price. Hallelujah. Amen. Apostle John, writing from the Isle of Patmos, But he wasn't living in the Isle of Patmos. He was living in a whole different world. I intentionally did not say a whole new world for those of you who think I'm developing a ministry telling Disney stories. Brother Mays, just last week, when did he preach? It was on Tuesday. He made reference, so apparently I'm gaining this reputation. But when I preached for Brother Farrell at the youth deal, there were several little girls there. And so I had in my notes, and I preached the same message here, it was Moments That Matter, but I had it in my notes here. But I didn't tell the story because there weren't any little, I mean, there were little girls over here, and sorry, I'm not trying to undermine you here, Bailey and Rebecca, but you're not that little. You guys are growing fast. But anyway, there was a whole slew of them there. And so guess what, man? I was inspired. I had to tell the story about Cinderella. And guess what? That didn't originate with Disney. It's an old French story. But anyway, that doesn't matter. I'm just trying. I didn't say a whole new world specifically because I don't want anybody thinking that I'm talking about a Disney story, okay? We're talking about a new world. The new world, the world that is to come, the one that if we were to write stories, we would never capture the essence of this world. If we were to try, and even men of God who were inspired by the Holy Ghost, who were given by God's own Spirit to describe this wonderful story, I'm telling you tonight that even those don't capture a full picture of what's to come. Talked about the word angelos, meaning the messenger. These messengers were sent to us with an inspired word to encourage us, to do exactly what we were singing about a little bit ago, what Brother Nelson was trying to do, encourage us. Hey, there is a hope beyond your struggles. Hallelujah. Many of you can probably tell this story better than I can. Many of you have been living for God many, many years, and you've heard it. You've heard this message preached about that world that is to come. Amen. The kingdom that is to come. Amen. I'm just here to remind you of what you already know of the untold story. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've just come as a messenger one more time to wave the letters in your eyes and say, hey, take another gander, take another look, remind yourself. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, Paul was caught in this new world. Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. That's where we're going. This whole world is passing away. Hey, that's why the enemy is doing everything he can to try to cause you to trip up and bring those spirits of infirmity that Pastor Hill was talking about. Those things are sent so that way you don't make it from this world that's passing away to the world that's to come. Brother Kent, if by any chance you were able to log on tonight, because I know that if you had the opportunity, you would. Amen. Let me just encourage you, brother. I know the pain is there. I know it hurts. I know the sickness is there. Amen. And the bills are stacking up. But I want you to know that there's a whole new world coming. Oh, hallelujah. I might just retitle this message, A Whole New World. Might just, what the modern folks are saying, lean into it a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. We're not. No, it's an untold story. It's an untold story. It's an untold story. This isn't no fairy tale. This isn't a fake story written by some fantasizing young lady over in France. This isn't just a story told by holy men of old who were inspired by the word, by the Spirit of God. It's truth. It's absolute truth. Amen. This is something you can go home and you can dream about it. You'll know that it's not just a hope, a fading hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, it's true, it's true. In fact, John goes on to say, I saw a new heaven, a new earth. Hallelujah, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away. There's no more sea. And I, John, I saw the holy city. What is this holy city? New Jerusalem. Everybody say New Jerusalem. New, not all Jerusalem. We're talking about New Jerusalem. Amen. Where the gate, amen, is pearl. Amen. The streets are not just crumbling soil laid by old Romans, but this is golden streets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Amen. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. I don't know about you, but I'm willing to pay the price to cover any kind of gap, any type of void, so I can get to that shore. That's where God is. That's where his presence is forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. We left that old world behind. We left these old corruptible bodies behind. We've stepped into new bodies that'll live forever, with all the strength and the vigor that eternity can muster. For the purpose, for the distinct purpose of worshiping him, of spending time with him. Hallelujah. Sorrow's not allowed in that world. Amen. Because it takes away from the worship to the one who saved us. Crying is not allowed in that world because it takes away from the one who saved us. Pain is not allowed in those immortal bodies. Amen. Because it takes away from the precious gift that he's given to us. Thank him right now. Why don't you thank the Lord right now? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. John's not done telling us the story. Hallelujah. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. All things. Make all things new. And he said it to me, write. Write. I need you to tell the story. Tell what you've seen, John. Tell somebody, because there's coming a church long about 2024. A man who has labored for 28 years, whose body is in pain. A sweet couple named the Nelsons who just lost their parents, who are going through the feelings of loss. Those folks, and a faithful man who has given his life to a place serving God, who's just been raptured with pain and not even able to make it to work, named Jerry Hilton. Amen. I'm not trying to pick on individuals. I just want you to see yourself in this story, that this was written for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Please understand, I'm not trying to overlook your situation. I'm just trying to get your gears turning, thinking about your situation. Amen. If it's true for Jerry Hilton, if it's true for John Nelson, if it's true for Bishop Reagan, then it's true for you. Hallelujah. If it's true for the churches, amen, in the New Testament, amen, through the Middle Ages, from the old world into this new world that we began talking about tonight, it's true in 2024. Oh, you're not hearing me tonight. He said, write it, John. Tell the letter. Amen. For these words are true. They are true. They are true. They are true. There's somebody that's barely hanging on that needs to hear this message, John. There's somebody that's covered up with work that doesn't want to go back to work on Monday morning, that they need to hear these words. They're true and faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to this church tonight under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I know I struggled this afternoon trying to find, but I know that I'm right in the middle of the will of God right now, that you need to hear these true and faithful, never failing, never erring, eternal words. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise, right? Just thank Him for His precious promises. Come on, this is an opportunity for you to thank Him. Apply it to yourself. Read the letter, child of God. Read the letter. I'm talking to you right now. You need to read the letter. These are true words. This isn't just a young preacher who stumbled across a good message. The Holy Ghost came tonight with a message for you, and He wants you to know that this is true and faithful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's love the Lord right now. Let's love the Lord right now. I don't have to finish these notes. Hallelujah. Thank you for those of you who are responding. Amen. You ought to go home and take the time and read the letter. Amen. Go home and listen to the words of the faithful and the true. Amen. Bury it in your heart. Amen. That every sin and temptation, amen, not sway you. That the weights, amen, of this world that bear down on your back will be broken by the rock of the Word of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, we ought to talk to the Lord right now. That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. Eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them. Hallelujah. He said, for them that love me. Do you love Him? I said, do you? I didn't say, have you been going to church for years? I didn't say, have you been faithful? I said, do you love Him? Because this letter's for you. Beloved, this letter is for you. That's how John started off his letter. He said, oh, beloved. Listen to these things from the eternal spirit. Amen. Who has seen old worlds and new. Amen. Who has created old worlds and new. Amen. Who's created the passageway from the old world to the new. Hey, I can preach with every ounce of my being, every fiber of my strength. Amen. And never, amen, proclaim enough what this story ought to be. But it's a true story. Sister Tori, come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh. Hallelujah. 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 Ooh. Come on, the Holy Ghost is moving right now. Let the Spirit of God minister right now. He wants to give you strength. He wants to remind you, amen, of this old story that you already know. Friend, it's not a fairy tale. This is absolute truth. Undefilable, incorruptible truth. Come on, that's it. Let's just thank Him right now.
Hallelujah. The Lord is wanting to encourage his precious people. He wants you to know the story. He wants you to remember the story. Ooh. Friend, when we get over there, listen to me. When we get over there, all the things that you have imagined, all the things that great authors, storytellers have been able to, the pictures that they've been able to paint, even the story that John tells us in Revelations, he tells us the building of the wall of it was jasper. City was pure gold, like unto clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. First foundation was jasper, second sapphire, third chalcedony, fourth emerald, fifth. And he goes on and on and on. He starts just painting this picture. We sang about it just a few moments ago. There will be no more pain, no more sorrow when we get over there. But I'm here to tell you right now, no matter what picture is in your mind, whatever is necessary to pull you out of that struggle, to pull you out of your pain, to help you overcome the challenge that you're facing right now. Hey, I'll tell you right now, I think we're among those who are pioneering a way in this end time. There aren't many, very many of us, Brother Nelson, that still hold to this story. There's not very many that still trudge forward in the face of all resistance. It's not very many who are willing to go this path. We talked about it this morning. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are mega churches across this nation that are filled to the brim with people who say they love God, who want to live for God, but they're not willing to pay the price. But you're standing in a church who is trudging ever forward, who's going ever towards that shore. And I don't know what was in Columbus's mind. I don't know what was in the Sackett's mind. Well, you could read it and figure it out yourself, I guess. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what images, I don't know what motivations were there that drove them forward. But I'm telling you, no matter what was in their mind, they did not have an accurate depiction of what was there. I'm here to tell you right now, I don't care what image you have in your mind, no matter how glorious, no matter how beautiful, you don't have the full image of what is to come. The Queen of Sheba, when she went to Old Jerusalem, she was blown away by the glory of Solomon. And what she told him was, I heard how all these things happened. I heard the story. But when I got here, it was nothing like what I said. Half had not been told unto me. I'm here to tell you, if it's true for Sheba with Old Jerusalem, it's true for us with New Jerusalem. I'm not taking anything away with what Apostle John and the other apostles wrote in their letters to us. But I'm telling you, we don't even know the half. Hallelujah. What would it be like when we get there and we forget all of the prices that were paid? Can you even fathom that? I can't. What will it be like when we get over there and we see Elder Davis, a man who, in whom I have tremendous respect and love? What a day. Seeing the great apostles, the great early fathers as they're known in history, Polycarp and these others. I would love to talk to those. I don't know what that would be like, but even those folks, I can imagine a bit what it might be like. I I've been to reunions before, but I can never even imagine what it would be like to behold the one who saved me. I'm here to tell you the story is not complete. There's so much more available. Why don't we close our eyes and lift our hands? God, I'm asking you to give strength to this church to go the distance. I'm asking you, God, that you would remind this church of the hope, that blessed hope of the glorious return of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. The earnest of our inheritance is great, but it's nothing. It's nothing. What we're feeling in this place tonight is nothing like what's to come. I don't know about you, but I'm willing to pay whatever price. I'm willing to pay whatever price just so I can get a glimpse, just so I can see, just so I can get to that shore. Come on, let's talk to him right now. Come on, do you love him? This letter is for you. Do you love him? He's bidding you. He's spoken these words that are true and faithful.